Second, I mean, First Kings 17. First Kings 17. A lot of burdens here this morning. It seems like every Sunday there's a lot of burdens. People go through, things happening. Let these kids go on downstairs. Y'all be praying for this week, because it'll be a little over 100 children every night, giving them snacks and crafts, and people work hard to get all this stuff done. Brother Jim and Judy, all the Sunday school, all the vacation Bible school, Sunday school teachers, the bus drivers, the bus workers, they taking their time. We used to go into Saturday. Now we've kind of stopped Saturday so everybody can have a break on Saturday, but it's Monday through Friday. And I was trying to make sure all the buses are going right and working good, and we don't want buses broke down on the side of the road. That's why I hate going away. I went away. I was in Texas one year doing the vacation Bible school. I tried to get the preacher to change it. He wouldn't change it. And I was going to cancel out on him. But we had buses break down. They were calling me. I couldn't get my – I was thinking about them, praying, crying out to God, asking God to help. And thank God the men here at the church took care of it. Brother Dave and Josh and Jim, all of them kind of worked together and got the bus going. And as always, if anything can go wrong, it will. Amen. Murphy's Law, if anything can go wrong, it will. And it seemed like when Vacation Bible School was getting ready to come, things start happening. And you'll get bad news, things happen, this and that. Things will happen. Anytime we get ready to have a revival, just remember, anytime something good God's getting ready to do, the devil knows, and he's going to try to stop it. And what you got to do is just keep your head screwed on straight and keep your eyes looking towards God and praying, and Lord, help us. Lord, help us. And if you'll do that, it'll always come out right, always does. And through the 31 years being here, I've seen it always come out right. It always worked out. God's worked something out and did something. And miraculous. And now I want to see, how many of y'all want to see God do something miraculous? Amen. I want to see the Lord do something. Now, we've seen a lot of things happen around here. We've seen a lot of miraculous things the Lord do. Sir. And I thank God. You know, you can be here this morning and say, well, I've never seen anything miraculous in my life. Well, you just stay faithful. You will. Amen. You stay faithful to God. Most people run from problems and they run away from things before God's getting ready to do something about it. I want to see the Lord do it. And the Lord's put me in a position where I can't run. And at times, there's times I wanted to run. I wanted to run away from things and run away from problems. My mother used to say this. I was in and out of jail going and end up in prison. And my mother would say, she'd say this, and she'd give testimony here. She'd say, I wanted the ground to open up and swallow me because she was so embarrassed and she was so hurt. 1 Kings 17. And we're going to talk about Elijah. Elijah is one of my favorite characters of the Bible. Elijah was a man, and he was the Bible's, you know, he had characteristics like we do. And what happens a lot of times, he was a human being just like you and I. He was a man, but he had problems just like you and I. And what happens is a lot of times you read your Bible, you think these people are superhuman. And they don't understand what I'm going through. I'm going to tell you something. Every one of these men in the Bible, every one of the women in the Bible went through things just like you go through every day. Elijah had more on him than you and I could ever imagine would happen in a person's life. And this guy, he had a king that was a wretched king. Look at 16 verse 33, and his name was Ahab. And the Bible says Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Here Ahab's time shows up. He shows up at a time when they got a guy that's one of the worst kings Israel ever seen, and this guy provoked God more than anybody else. And that makes me think, you don't want to provoke God.
That's right.
You definitely don't want to provoke the Lord. No, you do that, brother. You're asking for trouble. And that's what Ahab did. He got trouble. And he sent Elijah to preach to him. And he sent him to tell him, you better get right. And God set Elijah, and the prophet in the old days, if a man was a prophet in the old days, their lifespan was very short most of the time. Why? Because the kings would kill them. Because can you imagine Elijah going up to somebody or any prophet going up saying, you better get your house in order. God's going to kill you, or God's going to do this. God's going to do that. If you don't do, and what the king sitting on the throne could say, take off his head. And a lot of prophets died from telling the truth and telling people, telling the kings in the Bible that God was getting ready to do something to them. And it says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Elijah was pretty bold. Elijah was pretty bold. He came up to Ahab the king and said, it ain't going to rain, and it's not going to be any dew on the ground until I give it word. And I imagine what the king did. The king laughed at him. He probably made fun of him. He probably said, yeah, who do you think you are? And he goes on, and finally what happens is the king goes by, and he's sitting on the throne, and then finally some people come in and say, you know, king, since that preacher came in here, since that prophet proclaimed that, it hadn't rained in a month. And he goes, oh, man, don't worry, listen to that old crazy prophet. He's crazy. He don't know what he's talking about. Look at him, man. He's a wild man. He's walking around with camel's hair and all that stuff. He's a wild man. Don't listen to him. He's crazy. After about a few months, went by 3 or 4 months, they came in and said, king, you know, it hadn't rained 3 or 4 months. He said, I don't want to hear about it. Shut your mouth. I don't want to hear. Don't you think that prophet had anything to do with it? He didn't do nothing. He didn't do nothing. So shut up. And before long, a year goes by, and they said, you know, king, it hadn't rained in a year. And he said, I told you I don't want to hear nothing about it. It goes 3.5 years, no rain, no dew. Animals are dying. They can't even grow crops, food, no food and all that. But God tells Elijah to do something. And he says in verse 2, he said, and the word of the Lord came on him saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. I've been to Jordan River. I've been over there and I've seen the Jordan River. And he said, hide yourself. And Elijah had to go hide. Why? Because the king probably quietly said, go see if you can find that preacher up. So go see if you can find that Elijah guy. Go see if you can find him. So he sent out search parties for this guy, trying to find this guy, so he could bring this guy in and threaten his life or kill him if he didn't have any rain. I mean, can you imagine God listening to a man saying, don't let it rain for 3.5 years? I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, you're talking about power in your life. You're talking about getting a hold of God. Brother, I tell you what, God's looking for some people that you know, I'm not saying he's going to give you that kind of power. Maybe he will. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. When God gave Elijah power, it was the Old Testament, and he gave him power, and that was an unusual thing to happen. And Elijah went out, and he did what God said to do, go tell him. And then all of a sudden, they realized this guy, what he said was the truth. And what he was preaching and what he told Ahab was the truth, because his rebellion, Ahab's rebellion against God. Now look on down. God says, hide yourself. And he says, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook that I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. And he went and dwelled by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. So God uses a man. God tells a man, I want you to go do something, and I want you to tell him, but it's going to cost you something as well. And Elijah was in the will of God. In the middle of all this, he was in God's will. And I'm going to tell you something. God told these old prophets in the Old Testament, he told them to do some strange things. And they did some strange things. And if you read your Bible, you go, man, did that really happen? Now, I mean, you think about this. You think about God telling a donkey to talk to a prophet. I mean, God used a donkey to tell a prophet, you better get right. I mean, God used an animal. And God, whenever God wants to do anything, a lot of times he uses nature. And what he was using here was nature. He used a man's mouth, but he used nature. You know how every out in the world they always say, and when you watch the news, they say, well, Mother Nature is really pouring out her wrath upon us. It ain't Mother Nature, my brothers and sisters. It ain't Mother Nature at all. They can use, they say Mother Nature. They're giving more credit. See, the world don't want to give Jesus Christ or God any credit at all. They always say Mother Nature or, you know, or Mother Nature, our trees and our animals and all that stuff, but they don't want to give God no credit. And I'm going to tell you something. You better in our own life as Christians give God credit for what he's done. And you say, or why he allowed. I mean, they've got fires going on out in California right now. I mean, they got floods and all the weather. The Bible says this, in the last days, the weather is going to go, it's going to go crazy. And the weather has been going crazy. It's going to get worse, too. I can tell you that right now. And you say, well, I don't believe that. I just don't want to hear that. You'll be just like Ahab. I don't want to hear it until trouble comes to your life. When trouble comes to your life, then what'll happen? You'll say, well, maybe there is something to this thing. Maybe there is something about what that preacher's saying. Maybe the Bible is the Word of God. Maybe Jesus Christ is the Savior. Maybe he is coming back. Maybe those signs in the sky, maybe what the Bible says is going to happen, it's going to happen. Maybe it's true. I'll tell you what, it might be too late by then. It might be too late for you by then. If I was you, I'd be getting things right now. Amen. I'd be saying, God, I want to serve you. I want to honor you. I'm going to put you first in my life. And I'm just going to honor God. And you say, why teach about trusting in God? Why teach that? Because the Bible says this, it's better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in man. I mean, if you got confidence in man, man's going to let you down. If you got confidence in your money or your home or whatever else there is, confidence, all that stuff is going to burn up one day. Or you're going to lose every bit of it. You never see anybody going to a graveyard with a U-Haul truck or a tractor and trailer behind them. And they always go empty. And you better send some things up ahead of you before the day comes with they're going to put you in the ground. And man, we've got to teach them trusting God. And Elijah trusted God. He trusted the Lord with all his heart. And remember, God is our refuge. God is a very present help in the time of our trouble. If you're going through trouble this morning, let me tell you something. God is a refuge. And God is a help in the time of trouble. How many of y'all got some trouble going on in your life? Things going on? Yeah, all over the room. There's people going through stuff. I'm going to tell you something. God is the best place to put your confidence, the best place to put your trust and say, Lord, I'm trusting you no matter what. Because the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. You better trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. I'm going to tell you something. That's the best place to put your confidence in your trust. You say, well, I've tried that. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You better too. According to what God's word says. Amen. Not according to what you think. No, not according to what you feel. You better do it according to God's word. There's promises in the word of God. He said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will supply your need. God will bring you through the trouble. And the Bible says that God was able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You're better off trusting God than trusting yourself, trusting your neighbor, trusting your friend. There's nothing wrong with putting some trust in them, but I'm going to tell you something. This morning, you better put all your trust in God. You better trust him with all your heart. Amen? Because why? One day the brook's going to dry up in your life. One day that brook, I mean, God told him to go sit beside the brook, and he said, and the brook's going to dry up, and it's going to dry up, and God's going to test you whether you're going to trust him or not. He's going to test you. The Bible says trying of the Lord is more precious than gold. God's going to try you and see how much you really love him. I mean, there's people, it's easy to stand up and say, like Brother Bilbo said, it's easy to stand up and read Psalm 116 and say, I love the Lord, but it'll take you a lifetime to prove that you love him. Through the troubles and the trials and the heartaches and all the things that you're going through. I mean, what are you going to do when the brook dries up? God's children sometimes are called to sit beside a brook that dried up. Amen. And God's going to take care of them no matter what. No matter if the brook dries up, God will take care of you. Amen. He's going to meet your needs one way or the other. I've seen God take care of me and my family one way or the other. And God, I have Uncle Billy told me one time, he said, you know, God meets your needs in strange ways. I said, I like to see the Lord do something. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. As Christians, most Christians go through this life and never see God do anything for them. They say, well, I've been given. I've been faithful. I've been going to church. I've been doing it. But your heart is not there when it comes to serving God. Your heart is not in it. You say, well, I've been doing what I'm supposed to do. Amen. That's good. Keep doing it. But I'm going to tell you something. Your heart has got to be in it. You got to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. You better add a little love in there, a little love to nurture that thing, a little love with, man, it will bring those miracles in your life, man, trusting God, seeing God do something. I'm going to tell you, you ought to step out by faith once in a while. I mean, let your faith grow. Elijah had faith in God. He said, well, he talked to God. Yeah, he did. You can talk to God. Now, God talks to us through his word. He talked to Elijah audibly. I'm going to tell you something. God will talk to you through his word, and you got to have faith in him. And the way you get faith is reading the word of God. You get the word of God, and I see people come to church that don't even carry a Bible. Now, if you don't even want to carry a Bible to church, I know you're not reading your Bible at home. I know you're not carrying your Bible to work. I know you're not doing anything for God. I know you're not passing out tracts. I know you're not witnessing for him. I'll tell you what, you want to see God do something? I'm going to tell you something. What are you going to do when the brook dries up? What are you going to do? Trust yourself? Ha, that's a laugh. I'm trust yourself, and you couldn't be trusted in the broad daylight. Amen. And I can't be trusted in broad daylight. You going to trust yourself? What are you going to do when the brook dries up in your life? What are you going to do? Amen. Who are you going to trust in? You say, well, I trust the bank. The bank will repossess everything you got. You think the bank loves you? No, they don't. You think the bank cares about you? No, they don't. What they care is the bottom line. And the way the world looks at everything is the bottom line. I'm going to tell you something. God already sees the bottom line. He knows the head from the beginning or from the end. God knows from the east to the west. He knows it all. Amen. You're better off trusting in God. You're better off putting your confidence in him. The Bible tells us that it says you better trust God. Amen. If not, Elijah trusted God. He said, hey, I mean, I can see us now. Hey, go tell President Trump the brook's going, I mean, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. Well, Lord, what are we going to do? He didn't say that. What are we going to do, God? How are you going to take care of us? I mean, we'd have to have it in writing before God, we'd do anything like that for God. We'd have to have God sign it and seal it, and you know, and before we would do anything. God's children are called to sit beside a drying brook sometimes. I mean, the brook will dry up, and you'll think, man, what is God doing? Why? I mean, when we started pastoring church, our house burned down. We lost, my son had a heart problem. My daughter had stomach problems. I mean, we had all kinds of stuff, man, going on. And my wife said to me one time, she said, what is God doing? What is God doing? Has your wife ever asked you that? What is God doing? And I said, I don't know, but he's doing something, and I know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. If I do what I'm supposed to do, I know he's going to do what he's supposed to do. And you guess what happened? Guess what happened? God did what he was supposed to do. Amen. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, God will do what he's supposed to do.
Amen.
A lot of people are called to sit beside a brook. You know one thing I'm going to say this. Number one, Elijah had God's word on him. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you can get God's word on it, you can trust him. The Bible says in 3 times in the Bible, God cannot lie. If you can get God's word on anything he tells you to do, if he tells you to do it, and I'm going to tell you something, you got God's word on it, you can trust that, brother. You can hold it. You can take that to the bank. And maybe not this world's bank, but you can take it to the bank in heaven, and God will take care of it. And God will take care of you. Elijah had God's word on it, and he did what God said. He said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, and that is before Jordan. And you know what Elijah did? He did exactly what God told him to do. He went there to Ahab and told Ahab what he was told to tell him, and then he went and did what he was supposed to do. Let me ask you something. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? You said, well, I just don't know what God wants me to do. You need to get in the Word of God. You need, I mean, if God's going to show you anything about what he wants you to do, I mean, he's going to show you through the Word of God. Are you in the Word of God? I mean, do you have God's Word on it? I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I got God's Word on it. I know what I'm doing. The Bible says, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. I mean, man, I'm supposed to preach the word of God. I'm supposed to live for him. I'm supposed to honor him. I'm supposed to honor him on a daily basis. Amen. Are you doing that? You got God's word on it, man. You got God's, as God's child. The Bible says that neither death nor life nor angels or anything can separate me from the love of God. Nothing can separate me from God's love. I got God's word on it. I got God's word. Are you trusting his word? If you're not, I feel sorry for you. If you're saved, I feel sorry for you. Elijah had the word of God on him. He said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. Eastward. Hide thyself. Now, you think about that eastward, man. You know that sun comes up every day from the east and it goes to the west. That sun, every day it comes up, is testifying that God's in control. God's going to take care of things. He said, turn thee eastward. When we went to Israel, I mean, we went north, south, east, and west. We went all over the place. And man, we had GPS, but the problem was our GPS was in Hebrew, and we couldn't understand anything. And when we got there, we figured out where we were at. Amen. And we meant the GPS, and Glenn kept saying, change that thing to English. I said, I can't figure it out. I can't speak Hebrew to change it to English. Amen. So he said, go eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherub that is before Jordan. You know, the Bible talks about we're hidden in Jesus Christ. Well, what a blessing that is. I'll tell you something else. It says, it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. You know what God said? God said, I'll take care of you, son. He said, if you go and do what I tell you to do and you hide yourself, he said, I'll command the ravens. You know the ravens are is an unclean bird? You know that? God says, I'm going to command the ravens to feed you. You find when Noah was in the flood, and Noah sent a raven out, and the raven never came back. And that's a message in itself. Are you a raven or are you a dove? You know what a raven did? You know what God used? God used this raven. He used this raven to feed Elijah. He used him. You know why? Because God knew ravens are thieves. Raven are thieves. The Bible says the raven, look what it says. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherub, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. Let me tell you something. This is not the cartoons where a raven knows how to cook and know how to bake. That raven went out every day. That raven's maybe not the same raven. And maybe not the same one, but God used the raven. You know what women did? They would take their bread out, and they would hot bread. They would sit it on the windowsill for it to cool down. And all of a sudden, the raven's sitting up in the tree. And that raven's sitting there going, woo, there it is. And God used that raven to go down there, swoop down there, and grab that. And can you imagine that woman go, get out of here, you bird. And that before long, that bird then flew out with a loaf of bread. God used the ravens. You know what God, the Bible tells us, it says make friendship with this world when it comes to talking about the friendship of this world, about helping God's people, being friendly. And the Bible says if a man have friends, he must show himself friendly. And as Christians, we ought to be friendly. We ought to show people the love of God. We ought to care for them. God will use a lost person. He'll use a lost world to take care of his children. He'll use something miraculous in your life. And you know, Elijah sat there every day. He sat there and saw that brook start drying up. And human nature, you start worrying about it. But then every day, them ravens kept showing up. And the ravens would come up and they would drop that bread. I imagine they would sit it down. You said, did they eat any of it? I don't know. But I don't think if they obeyed God, I don't think they touched it. I believe, man, when them ravens came, the Bible says they brought him meat. You said, where'd he get meat from? A guy be out there fishing. He'd be out there fishing. All of a sudden, he'd take a fish off the hook, and he'd sit it in a basket. All of a sudden, that raven's sitting up there going, the Lord done told me. I'm going to have to go get it. So he flew down there and grabbed the fish and took it back to him and took it back to Elijah. Now, folks, this went on for 3 years. 3 years. You talking about a miracle. You talking about a miracle. God uses the animals to feed his man. God used them. Let me tell you something. What are you going to do when the brook dries up? You going to trust God? You going to trust yourself? You know what most people do? They say, well, this serving God ain't profitable. This serving God ain't don't benefit me. This serving God, it's not that great. I'm going to tell you something. It is great. I don't know who you serve, but I know God I serve. It's great. Why? I want to get under the spout where the honey comes out. Amen. Yeah. I want to get under there where God can bless me. And all the world talks about being blessed. And you see these TV preachers saying, you send me some money and God will bless you. That's a lie. Amen. But they're always trying to get your money. They want to be blessed by you. But I'm going to tell you something. You have a need. The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will supply your need if you'll trust him. if you're walking with him. Elijah was walking with God. I mean, man, the brook dried up. Things got looked kind of bad, looked real bad. Here you got a king that's looking for you, that laughed at you at first, made fun of you, and man, he mocked God and all these things, and he was most rebellious, and the king that brought more judgment upon the nation of Israel than any other king. It says none before him. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. And God brought up a man that could counter that fella. God's got somebody in this room. You got family. You got family that's lost. They're watching you. My mom and dad watched me after I got saved. They watched to see how I handle problems, how I handle things. Your family's watching you. God will provide if you trust him. If you go off the handle and blow up and blow and start going off and saying, I'm just not going to do this no more. And what I've seen a lot of people do, they quit serving God. They quit going to church. They quit giving like they're supposed to. And they'll go away from God. And before long, man, they just got judgment on them. Why? They know better. Amen. They know better. Amen. What are you going to do when your brook dries up? You say, well, my brook's already dried up. Well, I'll tell you what I would do. I would start crying out to God. I will start getting a hold of God, amen, saying, Lord, I know you can take care of me. I know you can take care of my family. I've seen the Lord do it over and over again. I told my son, Samson, I said, hey, you just trust God. He'll take care of you. You do what you have to do, and God will take care of you. Just trust him. And the brook is dry up. I'll tell you what, you'll still be able to praise him. You'll still be able to give him glory. God used these ravens to come in, and they're animals that are unclean, and they were thieves. And God used these animals that came and stole the food off people's table, off the windowsill, out of baskets to feed his man. You know what? I heard a story years ago, a woman that was a poor woman, and she didn't have nothing. And she was praying, and she had an atheist that lived next door. And this guy was a smart aleck, young guy. He thought it was always, he heard that old woman over there crying and begging God all the time. He said, he went to her one time. He said, what are you doing crying and praying? He said, man, God don't hear you. He said, God, there ain't no God. Don't you know that? I mean, just your way of thinking has gone out long time ago. I mean, there is no God. She said, oh, son, you don't know what you're talking about. She said, there's a God in heaven, and he hears my prayer, and I know he's going to do something. And this young man, he is smart aleck. He laughed and mocked her. He would get his friends together when he had parties at the house and said, listen, you can listen to her over there praying, and she ain't got nothing. She's just a sorry old woman, and she just thinks God's everything. And he said one day, he said, well, I tell you what, man, him and his friends got together and said, hey, let's do this. Let's go out and buy her a bunch of groceries, and let's lay it all over her porch, and let's get, you know, put it out there, man, and just watch and take a picture of her, come out and start praising God. She will praise God over it. He said, but there is no God. And then we can tell her, God didn't do that for you. We did it. They put all the groceries out on the front porch, and they had it all spread out. And then one day they knocked on the door, and they took off running across the street, got behind the bushes, and they were watching her. And she came out, and she started praising Jesus. She started crying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. And he jumped out of the bushes, came over, running over there. He said, see there? There wasn't no God that did that for you. God didn't do that for you. He said, I did that for you. And well, there is no God. She said, no, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. She kept praising the Lord. And he kept getting in her face saying, God didn't do that for you. I did that for you. And she said, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you used the devil to be your water boy. Amen. God used strange things to take care of you. When the brook dries up, what are you going to do? I mean, what if things got worse? What if the economy dropped out tomorrow? What would you going to do? You know, the Bible talks about in the last days, it's going to be hunger. It's going to be famine. And if you don't receive the mark of the beast, you won't be able to buy or sell. You know how many people are going to take the mark of the beast? Just about everybody. That book of Revelation, you say, well, we're not going to be here. Yeah, the rapture is going to take place. We're going to go out of here. But can you imagine the people that knew about Jesus Christ, knew about God, knew about all those things? And they didn't get saved. You might be sitting here this morning. You know the Bible's true. You know Jesus Christ died for you. You know all those. You know all the things that you need to know. But you still haven't got saved. You still haven't trusted him. And man, if the rapture took place today, right now, we'd all be shot out of here. Our clothes would be left behind. It'd be a pile of blood. Why? Because the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Be a pile of blood laying here and a bloody clothes. All our problems are in our blood. Our blood system. They always take blood to find out what's wrong with you. and the Lord, the rapture took place, our clothes be left behind, you be sitting in here, not saved. What are you going to do? You say, well, does the Bible say something like that happening? Oh, yeah. The Bible says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be called up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Guess what's going to happen? Your grandkids are going to be raptured out, the babies. And the ones that are at the age of accountability are going to be left behind. What are you going to do? So I trust the government. Yeah. Guess what's going to happen? The government's all going to be one. It's going to be a one world government. And then it's going to be a man that's going to be a genius. He's going to be a Syrian Jew. He's going to step up and say, I know where they went. And he's going to give some kind of answer. You say, wait, are we that close the Lord could come back? We're that close. You know what that 3.5 years there, 3.5 years that brook drying up, you know what that's a type of? Tribulation. Yep. Elijah in the tribulation. You say, is that going to happen again in the tribulation period? Yes, it is. You know what God's going to do for the Jews? He's going to do something miraculous. Amen. You know what he's going to do? He's going to drop manna from heaven. Just like he did in the Old Testament. Yep. He's going to drop manna in the wilderness for the Jews. Now, what about the Gentiles? Well, the Gentiles either have to run to Jerusalem or, and not, the Bible tells us that any man receive the mark of the beast, he's doomed. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Right now is the time to be able to serve the Lord. Amen. Right now is the greatest time in all the world. It's so easy to serve God. We don't have no persecution in America. I mean, only persecution a Christian in America has if you knock on the door, somebody slam the door in the face and give you a cuss you out. I preach funerals where people stood up and cussed me out while I'm preaching. I've had people give me the finger and all kinds of stuff. That's the only persecution I've ever had. I've had people threaten to shoot me. I've had people pull guns out on me. I've had people pull knives out on me. That's the only persecution I ever had. We ain't been through nothing. Amen. What are you going to do when the brook dries up? There's a family right now just buried their babies yesterday. Their last name is Henry. They're in North Carolina. This mama is praising God. I mean, weeping, thanking God. Two of her children burned up in the fire. Her and her husband was in the house. They got burnt. She got burnt. And one baby got burnt so bad, she's 9 years old, the oldest. They cut her legs off. My wife and I got down on the floor in the room praying for her. They're going to cut her arms off. Because their arms was burnt so bad. And the Lord took that little baby home. And they waited. They had the funeral. They had it yesterday. I believe this. I believe if I ask the Henry family, what are you going to do when the brook dries up? What are you going to do? I believe both that husband and wife would say, we're still going to serve God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Some of y'all mad at God about little stupid things. Yep. You're mad at God because he didn't do something particular that you wanted. Amen. You ain't buried no three babies. Amen. What are you going to do when the brook dries up, really gets dry? Elijah kept on serving God. He had God's word. He obeyed it. God did a miraculous thing for 3.5 years, send ravens down to feed him. So that's just a story in the Bible. That's a true story.
Amen.
God's able to meet your need. First funeral, one of the first funerals I've ever done, I did an 18-year-old girl. I'll never forget. I cried all the way through that thing. Next funeral I think I did was three little babies burned up in the fire over here in Smyrna. I stood at that gravesite looking at those babies in them little coffins. I kept encouraging the family, don't get mad at God. Don't get upset with the Lord. He knows. So where are those babies at? They're with Jesus. They're with Jesus. I can tell you story after story about people going through things. Jesse's telling you this morning. That's how I know God wanted me to preach this message. Jesse started telling you about his mama getting cancer. When he told me that, he cried, and I cried with him. God, she, you know what, said, you know what mama said? She said, well, I'll just be like you, Jesse. And he said, what do you mean by like you, like me? She said, bald-headed. She laughed about it. What are you going to do when the brook dries up? Amen. Things get tough in your life. Yeah. Troubles come. You going to turn tail and run? Or are you going to trust God?
That's good.
Who are you going to trust? You better trust the Lord. Verse 7, it says, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. And then all of a sudden, when the brook dried up, here you got, it says, and the word of the Lord came on to him saying, arise, get thee to their Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Dwell there. Behold, I commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God says, all right, Elijah, you did what I told you. For 3.5 years, I don't know if it was 3.5 years he was up beside that brook, but it was 3.5 years it didn't rain. And God says, get up. Now the brook's dried up. I'm going to take care of you another way. I'm going to send you for a woman that's a widow. Now look what the Bible says the widow was. Look here, I got hurried now, quit. He says, arise, get thee to the Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I commanded a widow woman that's there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her as she turned around and started going, just doing, go get somebody a friendly drink of water out of the well. As she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a little morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handbreadth of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She said, this is it. This is the end of the line. As he says, hey, when you go, give me a drink of water. He said, would you do something for me? Make me a cake. Bring me something back. And she stops. She says, all I got is this little meal. And me and my son was going to eat it. And then we're going to die. Why? It hadn't rained. The ground was dry. Animals are dying. Look what happens. It says, as she went to fetch it, he called to her. Verse 12, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have a cake, but a handful of bread, a meal. Verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as I have said, but make me thereof a little cake first. That Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek God first. Always seek God first.
Yeah.
Seek God first. No matter what the doctors say, no matter what anybody says, seek God first. And the Bible says, Elijah said, fear not, go in as I said, but make me there a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make it for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her household did eat. How many days? Many, many days. He said, till it rained again. I don't know how long that many days is. It could have been a year, 2 years. I don't know how long that is. But he says, many days. And now look what the Bible says, verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So what are you going to do when the brook dries up? Are you going to trust God? Or are you going to do your thing? You know what some people are doing right now? You're just doing your thing. You're not trusting God. That's why you never see anything happening. You don't see a miracle in your life. I'm not one of them TV preachers say, expect a miracle and all that. But I know God can do miracles. Amen. I know God expects us to trust him. If you want to see God do something, you got to step out. You got to step out by faith and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you no matter what. You know what Job said? He said, though he slay me, amen, yet will I trust him.
Amen.
Are you going to trust God this morning? It's better to trust the Lord for confidence in man. You better trust God. I don't care what trouble you have. You said, preacher, you don't know what kind of trouble I got. I don't care what kind of trouble you got. Trust in the Lord. And obey his word. Get in his word. I don't care what trouble it is. Trust him. I'm dealing with trouble all the time. Whenever my phone rings, it's usually trouble. I'm always dealing with it. Like I said, at times I wanted to run. But God put me in a position to deal with it and not run from it. And to help my brothers and sisters not to run from their troubles. Face it. Trust God. I have people call me up once in a while and say, preacher, this is good news. I said, I'll always love to hear good news. This is good news. But I want to be there in your time of trouble. God is. But we recognize him? Do we trust him? Trouble's coming. Man that's born of woman that's of a few days and full of trouble. Jacob said, my sojourning here is 149 years, he says, and full of trouble. You know what we have in this life? That's why heaven means so much more to us. You'll have trouble. You say, well, I just want to run to the mountains and hide there. It'll be trouble. You know, that's what some of the people in California thought. Mountains are burning. There'll be trouble. There's going to be trouble coming. There's no guarantee that you're going to get around it unless you trust God. You trust the Lord. He'll help you. You got cancer. You got financial problems. You got whatever problems it might be. Trust in the Lord. Trust him. Talk to him. Obey him. Do what you're supposed to do. And God will do what he's supposed to do if you'll do what you're supposed to do. Father, I love you this morning. I thank you, God, for your mercy. My Father, when troubles come, help us not to run.